Well, good evening to each of you, and blessings to each of you again tonight. I've been enjoying the meetings, and I hope and trust you have been as well. And I'm hoping that you are leaving each evening and each day not only challenged, but changed, and reaching new heights for the Lord. Because as long as we are alive, we are in this journey, and God is working in our lives. The first two evenings I viewed as foundational subjects or topics that must be in place in your life before anything good can happen. You need to experience the Holy Ghost, the baptism of the Spirit, the promise of the Father, and secondly, you need to have a true evangelical faith, is what I referred to last night, and I discovered that you all know that song. We don't know that song yet at our church, but it's precious to me because Menno Simons was struggling with a cheap grace that was prevalent in that day, and it is today too, cheap grace. And a faith alone was what was taught. And the Anabaptists didn't accept that. The faith as a theology only, separated from works. But a true and a living faith is connected to obedience and works. And we saw that from the life of Abraham. It says in Romans chapter 4 that Abraham was justified by faith without works. And you see, this all happened in his life before the Mosaic law was ever given. He followed God. He left all. He waited patiently and didn't waver in his faith. And then he sacrificed and surrendered Isaac to the Lord. And that's the model of true evangelical faith as I understand it. And that must be an experience in your life where you are experiencing a full surrender and living your life on the altar of sacrifice. That's where the power of God flows into your life. Now I want to move into a practical subject tonight, but before I do that, some of you have been asking what happened to my fingers, and I sometimes forget to clear that right away. I have experienced this throughout my life, that I forget sometimes to tell people what happened. Sometimes I tell the children that come back Friday night and I'll tell you Friday night, and they can't wait for Friday night. But at 2 years old, I got my fingers caught in a grain drill. My brothers and I were sent to the field to bring my dad in for dinner. And he allowed us to sit on the back of the grain drill, a plank on the back of a grain drill. And my brothers were to be watching me, and apparently they didn't too well. And I fell off, and I went to get back up again, and I reached my fingers into the two gears in a ground-driven drill. And they were half off and half on, and I imagine I was screaming. And my dad went to the tractor and found some wrenches, and the Lord was there. I'm amazed as I hear the story. I believe it because I don't remember any of it. And the bolts came apart, and everything came apart, and he got my fingers out, and fastest ride I had to the hospital, my dad and I. They tried to sew my fingers back on again, but it was not successful. That was 50 years ago. Now you know how old I am. And so God has been good to me, and at 9 years old, I was drove over by a tractor. I was holding a barn door, and a gust of wind blew the barn door. I was in front of it, and my brother was looking the other way, and the tractor stopped on top of me at 9 years old. And he got off, and he saw I was underneath the tractor, and he backed off again. And another fast ride to the hospital. All I remember is my mother saying, "Slow down." We almost died on the way to the hospital. I had a broken pelvis, and I was in the hospital for 10 days, and the Lord healed me I praise God for that. And at 15 years old, I was caught in a PTO of a corn picker and caught my coat and stalled the tractor. So I say that all those experiences, if you look at me, my one ear was mangled. And I, you probably wouldn't have even noticed it if I wouldn't have told you, but I was caught in a corn picker and a shear bolt mangled my ear. I had a lot of injuries through that experience. And again, the Lord healed me, and I praise God. I am still alive and serving the Lord. God is not finished with me yet. I hope my accidents are behind me, and someone else can have their turn. This life is filled with difficulty, is it not? And we never know what a day holds, but we trust the Lord. So that has been my experience. And now, tonight I want to talk about overcoming cowardice. I want to talk about speaking boldly for Christ. And it is a burden of my heart that we as Christians learn how, as Peter, we read from Scripture how Peter opened his mouth, sometimes at the wrong time, but many times at the right time. And Peter was one who sometimes spoke too quick, and at least he was speaking. And I think when I read through Peter, I can't wait to get to heaven and meet Peter as one of the first ones I want to meet, I think. Jesus will be the first one, but there's many good characters in the Bible that we want to, that I admire. Cornelius is another one. But opening our mouth boldly and speaking for Christ and the importance of it, and I want to encourage this young army here tonight to learn how to overcome cowardice and the spirit of coward. I want to start with an experience when I was a teenager. My friends had a pond in which we loved to swim, and they had a tree that grew by the bank of the pond, and the branches hung over the pond, and they built a little stand up very high. I don't know exactly how high it was, but it was probably 25 feet or a little more high. And you know how young teenagers are. We love challenge, and my friends would go up there and jump off. And I was determined that I can do this too. And so I went up into this stand, and I stood there, I believe, some nights. I was up 25, 27, I don't know exactly how. It was high, and I stood there, and I looked, and I went about this far, and I just couldn't do it. And all night long, I stood there, and I just couldn't bring myself to jumping. And I went down the stand a coward, went home a coward. And this bothered me. I think I went through a whole summer. I just was not quite able to do it. And I don't remember how long it took me, but I still remember the night when I overcame my fear. And I stood up there and I said, do or die, I'm doing this. And I jumped. And I survived. I landed in the pond properly, and what a thrill it was. And then I did it again and again and again. It was fun. It was high, but it was a challenge. It was not for cowards. Now, I'm not here suggesting you young men here build stands 25 feet high. I'm just sharing that as an example to illustrate. Now we're talking about opening our mouth and speaking boldly for Christ. And sometimes we have fears that we struggle to overcome speaking for the Lord. Why is it so hard to speak a word for the Lord? Or how many of you here tonight can say that I just love an opportunity to speak a word for the Lord? And I think if everyone was honest, we would say, there's something inside that just, it's a fear that we struggle with at times. And I know for myself, that was a struggle for me to overcome even public speaking. I had a tremendous fear of speaking in front of people. And I had to overcome that in school, first grade. My teacher was trying to teach me a lesson and stood me on my head in front of the class, and I don't think that was the best thing to do. If any of you are here teachers, but that developed in me a fear, and it took me a long time to overcome that. And we have experiences in life that happen to us that are hard to overcome, but praise be to God, one time I said, I'm going to do this, do or die, and I stood in front of a group, and the Lord met me there, and I was able to overcome that. And so we have these fears in our life, and I want to encourage everyone to develop a spirit of courage and confidence in relation to speaking for the Lord. Cowardice is defined as a lack of courage or firmness of purpose, faint-heartedness, spiritlessness, fearfulness. So there is a cowardice is a trait wherein fear and excessive self-concern override doing or saying what is right, good, and of help to others in time of need. It is the opposite of courage. When I go to buy something in a store, or if I go shopping for a car or whatever it is, I love when there's a salesman there who makes me feel welcome in the store. Number one, I will, if you're a businessman here and you have that going for you, you have a lot going for you, because I love that when people are friendly. A salesman who knows his product and is friendly and makes you feel like you're wanted in the store and like he loves to help you, I will tend to buy from those places even if it's a little higher priced, because I just love when people are friendly and love to sell and believe in what they're selling. One of my pet peeves is when it happened to me a couple times when I went to a car lot to look at a car, a vehicle in a large car lot, and I drove through and I saw this one car, and I go in to find a salesman, and he's there looking through. Now, which row did you say it is? And what car is it? What color is it? And I'm thinking, you're a salesman, and you don't even know what for car is out there and which row it is? I don't know if you would be working for me. Now, I'm expressing my frustration. A salesman who's selling a product ought to know it very well. And that's what I want to encourage each of you here tonight, young people and everyone. When we're representing Christ, we ought to set out to do it professionally and the best we can. Because there's people that want answers, and there's people that we talk to that are searching. And how sad it is when God's people are not there to explain the Bible and live out the Christian life in a way that people want it. And people want to learn more. And people ask us questions. And I will also say that it is something we grow in. It is not something that we develop right at conversion. We're all growing in this, right? We're all growing and we're developing, and we never feel like we have attained, but we cannot settle for mediocrity when we're talking about representing Christ. We cannot be okay with mediocrity. We're talking about souls and people that are heading for an eternal destiny, and people that are confused and frustrated and whatever it is. We need to be people that can give answers and love to talk to people. So why is it such a fearful thing to talk about the Lord or to talk? Speaking boldly for Christ. Why is it a fearful thing? Well, America's most common fears, one of them is public speaking. Yeah, one of the top three is public speaking, and it is something that is not easy. And when we get in front of people, yeah, there's just something that happens. There's a warfare that goes on, and I believe we always will have that, but we learn to face those fears, and we learn to trust Christ and develop a love for people. So I want to ask you to consider, what are some of the common fears we face when speaking for Christ? I think one of them is rejection. When you feel led to talk to someone and they reject the message or reject you and laugh at you and mock you, that does not feel good. So sometimes we fear rejection or lack of interest. I've experienced this many times. You talk to someone and they're just like, there's nothing happening in their heart, and we go away sometimes feeling like, I don't want to do that again, and we shouldn't. Maybe that's just the first time where you planted a seed and someone else will come along and water that seed, but lack of interest is sometimes a fear we face. They're not interested, or I'm not qualified to answer the questions. What if someone asks a question and I don't know how to answer it? That is a fear that we have. Mockery. I've had people, I gave them a track already and they ripped it up right in front of me and threw it to the ground. Well, Jesus has some words for us. You know, if people persecute us for righteousness' sake, we're to count it all joy and we're to rejoice, because great is our reward in heaven. So when these things happen, we should take courage and keep pressing on. And how wonderful it is when you find someone, you feel led of the Spirit, whether it's at the gas pump or the store or where sidewalk, or you meet someone and you just feel like it was a God moment. And there was just the Spirit of God was leading, and you have a word for them, and they appreciated it. That is encouraging when that happens. And I have learned and am learning to overcome some of those fears, even if people were not interested. I'll just share one story in relation to that. Shortly after we moved up to Shenandoah, I was walking the sidewalk, and there were four men sitting up on a porch drinking beer. And so I stopped and talked with them for a little bit. I still remember this man drinking a Colt 45, and I was sharing with them. And I forgot about that. Time went on, and I don't know if it was a year later, I was in the Frackville Mall, and here the security guard was there. And his name was Luther, and he said, you're the man that lives in Shenandoah. And here, that night, I didn't feel like he was really interested at all in what I said. But he worked at a warehouse, and he was unloading a truck, and a truck driver came in. And after he unloaded his truck, the truck driver came up to him and said, here's a Bible, read it. I'm like, wow. And this happened to him twice. Two different truck drivers came up to Luther and said, here's a Bible, read it. I'm thinking, wow, why don't I start handing out Bibles? And he, after the second time, he got into the Bible and he started reading the Bible. And I met him as a security guard at Frackville Mall, and he found the Lord. Now, that's just a wonderful story. I just love when I see God working in those ways. But those are reasons why we should look for these opportunities and not grow weary when we don't see results happening. So some time ago, they had in our local town, they had a bookstore where they're giving out free books. And so I went in there and they had two Bibles free. I thought, praise the Lord, I got the two Bibles. And I'm walking down the street and there's the cars stopped, a traffic light. There was a traffic jam and there's a car stopped right there with a window open, and I had a Bible. So I walked right up. It was lined right up, and I walked up to the car and I said, here's a Bible, read it. And he came alive. He said, wow, this is of the Lord. And we just had 1 minute. Soon the car started going again. And he said, wow. And so I don't know whatever happened there. But I just want to encourage you to take those opportunities to just be a little bold and pass out Bibles and pass out tracts and get courageous for the Lord. Because you never know what may happen when we do that and we're following the Spirit of God. So the first point I want to talk about is confidence, developing confidence. And the verse I want to use is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. It says, having therefore boldness or confidence, some translations use the word confidence, to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ, by a new and a living way which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. So speaking with confidence, having therefore boldness to enter into the holiest, I think this is where it starts when we have boldness and confidence to enter right into the throne room of God. We're invited to come boldly to the throne of grace. That is the same Greek word, which is parousia. And it means an all-outspokenness, a frankness, a bluntness, assurance. And I like that word, an all-outspokenness, frankness. We are not to be reserved, but we're to be outspoken and share what the Lord is doing in our lives. But this is how we're to enter into the Holy of Holies in this same way. Come boldly to the throne of grace that we may receive. And so this is, I believe, where we need to start is speaking from experience. And I want to encourage each of you here this week to talk to somebody about what God is doing in your life this week. Share it. Talk about it. Get it out. If it's working in there, if God is working and speaking to you, talk to somebody about it. And if you're struggling with something, you will find a freedom when you talk about it. And you get it out and share with someone and learn how to come into the throne room of God's grace and receive what God has for you. And then speak about it. So you can then speak from experience. We need to experience God before we have anything to say. So experiencing God and learning to speak from our experience is the first step that we need to overcome. Some people say, I'm just a little shy and I don't... I notice that some people do not like to speak out for Christ, and they say that they're just not gifted in that area. But then I see these people can talk about money, they can talk about business, they can talk about sports and the passions of your life. You can talk about them, right? What you're passionate about, you will freely talk about. So sometimes it is a passion problem. Not so much a speaking problem, but a passion. This needs to become a passion of your life where you say, Lord, give me grace and give me what it takes to speak out for whoever you want me to talk to. And when you step forward in that faith, God will meet you there and give you the boldness. So if your tongue is tied when it comes to speaking for the Lord, but then you can talk freely non-stop about other things, you need to check your passions. Say, Lord, I want to be passionate about you because there's souls that we may be entrusted to us to work with. I want to just, on that point, share a story about a friend I met in business, an Amishman that during business we talked together many times and became friends around business. There's many opportunities, brothers and sisters, in business to talk and witness for the Lord. Why do you go to work? It ought to be to bless people and interact with people. And also a paycheck at the end of the week is nice and helpful. But really, at the end of your life, it's the souls that you have touched is really what matters. But we talked and shared many times and we had some good discussions around the Lord and around Christian life. And one night he called me. He said, Dale, he said, my neighbor came over and he's sharing his heart with me. He said he's having suicidal thoughts. And he wanted to know if I would come up. It was about a 30-minute drive from his place. If I would come up and talk to his neighbor. And I said, Gideon, why do you live where you live? Now, I didn't go up because I wanted to encourage him to go talk to your neighbor. I said, Gideon, he's coming to your door. Now, you ought to be jumping and dancing. Praise be to God. Many times we want to go out and find him. He's coming to your door. Please open your door and talk to him. God is laying that at your door. I didn't say it like that, but I'm just saying a challenge to each of you tonight. That's what I was feeling in my heart. I know it feels overwhelming, but he could talk very freely. I said, Gideon, you can share the Lord and give him a message of hope. So then time went on, and his neighbor ended up committing suicide, and that was hard for him to work through. But I'm laying this before each of us here tonight because God brings people to our door, and we cannot take responsibility for the choices of sin that people make, but we must be there to give a word to people. So sometime later after that, we moved up to Shenandoah, and again, a year or two after, we had some good discussions about moving into the city and versus living on the farm. We had healthy discussions, and I loved it. He said, oh, you're sure your family's okay and ready for this, going right into the city? And I said, are you sure your family's ready for the challenges in your youth group and all of those things? We had healthy discussions. And then a year or two later, he calls me while we're living in Shenandoah. He said, there's someone come to my business. He sold lawn furniture. And there's this woman that came to his business, and she's asking all kinds of questions. And she's thinking about joining our church, and he's just not sure this is going to work, and he wanted to know if she can come to our church. I said, Gideon, why are you in business? And I want to lay this as a challenge for everyone, your business opportunities. Oh, if they're coming to your door, talk to them. If they have questions, bring them to church. Amen? Yes, that's what it's all about. And if you have those opportunities, many times we drive and we work and they're coming right to your door. So finally I said, well, Gideon, I'm willing. You can give her my number. I mean, on our church sign it says everyone's welcome. And that's what he did. And she called me and she came to our church service the next Sunday morning. To make a long story short, she came and she had a lot of needs. And here, she was a transgender. So now, our church was really tested. But I'm sharing just these stories that we need to be ready to preach the gospel. We had to say some hard things, and that was a testing time in my life. But let's learn to speak out of experience and be ready to give an answer to whoever comes and be ready so that we can at least go to the Bible and give a message of hope. And that's what I want to encourage us. Speak with out of your experience. Just tell them what the Lord is doing in your life and tell them what God is doing in your life. Speak with authority also. We read in John 1, 11 and 12, it says, Jesus came unto his own and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I think before anyone is ready for ministry, we need to understand this verse. Everyone who comes to Christ receives authority or power to become the sons of God. We must understand who we are. This exousia is the authority that's given to every believer. And we can go out in Jesus' name with authority. It's the same thing that is given to a police officer. As we think about the word authority, a police officer is given authority and a jurisdiction. And when a police officer is in his jurisdiction and he has his authority, we respect it. When the flashers come on behind us, we pull over. And if you do not, you know what will happen? You'll face the law, and he'll exercise his authority. Now, he's a man, just like you and I, but he has authority. Well, as children of God, we have a delegated authority as we become children of God, and we can exercise that authority in Jesus' name. It's given to every believer. I love that. And so we need to understand who we are as God's children, the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, and our experience can be everyone's experience if they will repent and come to the Lord. And we understand this. There's times when difficult situations come our way, and sometimes we don't know how to deal with them. Just last month, I got a phone call, and people wanted some help, needed money, and so we invited them into our house, and we began to talk to them, and she asked if I would come and bless their house. I said, bless your house. I don't necessarily bless houses, but what are you looking for? She said, well, there's some evil presence in our house. We've had some ghost hunters out, and they identified three spirits living in our house. And I'm like, I don't know where you got this blessing of the house business. Sometimes we don't know how to respond to these, but I've had multiple people come to me asking me to bless their house. So that comes from Catholicism. They bless houses and they bless water and make it holy and they bless everything. And I said, I want to explain something to you, how the blood of Jesus can defeat the powers of the enemy, and your heart can be sprinkled by the blood of Jesus, and you can have this power that we're talking about here. To everyone who believes, to them he gives power and authority. And I explained to them how the power of God comes into your heart, and you need to surrender your life to Christ. And I explained all that. Then I explained a spiritual trash can, and I learned over the years of ministry that people do not understand how to get rid of the trash in their life. So I take them to a trash can right along the sidewalk, a trash can. We must understand the spiritual trash in your life. And just today I did it to a man. He's got all kinds of things. He's crying on the street, and we were talking on the street. And I said, Lewis, you need to come back to God, and you need to get rid of the trash in your life. And together we walked together to the trash can. I said, Lewis, put your head in there. Smell it. He said, no, I don't want to. I said, put your head in there. You got to get rid of the trash in your life. You must repent and have a bonfire. And so we begin to explain these things to people, how they need to get rid of the trash in their life. And so they went home, and I'm not sure what is happening in their life. But speaking with authority and learning how to explain things to people is what we need to overcome the fears and step into the turf of the enemy with confidence. The second thing that I want to stress is speaking with consistency. A consistent life is very important. A consistent means an unchanging in nature and standard or effect over time. There must be something about your life that connects with your message. So when people see you, they must see something that reminds them of God. They must see something in your life. And I use the example here of show and tell in school. At school, I remember show and tell. So the teacher would have a day that we would have a show and tell, and you'd bring an object, and I want you to think about what the experience of show and tell. If you would only show your object without telling anything about it, it would not be effective. So you stand before the class and you show it. Whatever it is, you would want to hear a little bit about it as well. And if you come to class for a show and tell and you only tell about it, it will not have the same effect as if you show and tell. And I believe that's something that is true of a Christian's life as well. When we learn how to show and tell, we open our mouth, but there's some times when we are living for God and we are shining as a light. We're like a city that cannot be hid. I believe that God is speaking to people sometimes that we're not even aware of it. That's pretty powerful to think about, a city set on a hill. You just can't hide it, and it's shining every day of your life. And so that may be happening. You're going to the store, you're shopping, or at work, or whatever the circumstances are, you're shining for the Lord. Wow. People are saying, what's with him? That happened to us in Israel. We had a Jewish tour guide. He was not a Christian, but he was Jewish. And he said at the end of our group, he talked to our group, and he said, this is the first group. I sense something about your group that I never sensed before in any other group. I said, praise God. That's exciting. There's something about this group. He said, you're just so friendly. I trusted you from the first to second day. And I think that should be the experience wherever we go. When we are living for God, we bear the image of Christ in our hearts, and that is shining every day of our life. Sin has marred the image. God has stamped his image upon every person from creation, but sin has marred that image. And in redemption, when we are redeemed, God stamps his image upon every Christian. So we begin to shine for Jesus, and that's what it is effective when we are real. So just a few points under showing that I think are very important. Friendliness is so important. When you are friendly and someone just comes up and shakes your hand and smiles. Now I want to stress this. When we are interacting with people of the world or unbelievers or neighbors or whatever it is, they ought to be saying about us that they're very friendly people. There should be a radiance about you. I want to do an exercise here. I want everyone here just take a little bit of time and just wear a smile. I want to see a smile from everyone. Give me one. That's a good start. Smile. If you're shy, just say hi. Just at least say hi and recognize people. This is serious. We're representing Christ. And we should not be walking around as if there's nothing to show. There's all everything to show. Now, this doesn't bring salvation, but God's people ought to be friendly. We ought to smile. You ought to be looking for an opportunity everywhere you go and make this a lifestyle. Today, at the gas pump, there was a man. I had one of these wow moments today in Pottsville. Two people I met. One of them was looking for a church. I said, well, I'm preaching at a church. There's something going somewhere here. Anyways, this man at a gas pump, he wore a cross, and I was pulling up to the gas pump, and I said, hey, you got a cross, you believe in Jesus. He comes over, and we had a wonderful, one of those moments that you just are dancing afterwards. It was just a God moment. And he said, yes, I'm a Christian. I said, well, tell me about it. When did it happen? And I started getting excited. I can't wait to hear it. You know, I have that experience too. And we started chatting. We never met each other before. And here I found out he just lives the next town over. He said, wow. I said, you have a church? So we started talking, and he shared his experience, and he said, my wife is in the car. So we met, I met his wife, and we had a wonderful experience. And that is, I believe, what God wants us to do, just be friendly and talk to people. The other one that I want to share is acts of kindness. Give a helping hand. Look for opportunities to be kind to people. Charitable deeds. You remember Cornelius? He gave much alms. So if you have an opportunity to help someone, just take some time to help them. Honesty at work. Take time to listen to people. Not only talk, but learn to listen to people and their hurts and their wounds and their pain. A consistent life is a loud voice at work, in your community, and wherever you go. Then also be ready to open your mouth and talk too. But this showing part is happening, should be happening every day of your life where you're showing, and sometimes it's happening, you don't even know it. Praise be to God. You may get the glory and say you touch somebody just by your radiant life. Never said a word. That can happen. That's how powerful this spirit is within us. Peter says this meek and of quiet spirit is of a great price to God. It can even win the heart of an unbelieving husband, this spirit from within us that should be shining. But then be ready to open your mouth and sanctify the Lord God and be ready to give an answer and speak for the Lord and do it as best you can. Third point is speak constantly. We cannot keep silent. The early church model in Acts 4 and 5, they couldn't keep quiet. Acts chapter 3, the lame man was there at the temple, and Peter and John, it says they came to the temple, and I love it. I just read it again today. Peter and John fastened their eyes upon him, and they just began to see, here's an opportunity, and they were ready for something to happen. They fastened their eyes upon him, and the lame man was asking for alms. And again, Peter opened up his mouth. Silver and gold have I none, but that which I have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise and walk. And that lame man started dancing and he started walking. And he offended many of the religious people. Now Peter was in trouble and Peter and John were in trouble. They were in prison. And they were questioned about you're filling all Jerusalem with this doctrine. They couldn't keep quiet, and now they're under trial before the Sanhedrin for a lame man who is healed. And sometimes we face those things with the religious people that are not spiritually alive. But that's what happened there. They kept on rejoicing and preaching, and they made it a lifestyle. They filled all Jerusalem with the doctrine of Jesus Christ. And they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage us all together here tonight to make it a lifestyle. And I have learned and have developed this over the years, and I don't look at this as something we have to do once a month or every week. We go pass out tracts, we get that off our list, now we're good for another week. This should be a lifestyle at work. During the day, at the gas pump, wherever it is, let's take these opportunities. There's a man in town that came to our Bible studies, and he began to open up his heart, and him and I went out for breakfast, and he said, we're sharing our hearts together, and he said, there's a man at work that is saying the same things that you are. He brightens up the workplace. He's right like you. I said, praise the Lord. I want to meet this man. This is at Universal Forest in Gordon. Dylan has a coworker who speaks to him, and he says, I love being around him. So make it a lifestyle. At work, there's many opportunities to speak for the Lord and invest in people's lives. Always seek to improve. Young people here tonight, I want to encourage you to, if this is difficult in your life, set a goal tonight to start and work at developing this gift and begin by maybe going with someone. Or I think we can learn something here where we can learn from others and seasoned people who have walked with the Lord and have more experience in this, but always seek to improve and be a blessing to other people. Read books, attend seminars like you are this week. Do whatever you can to do the best job you can for the Lord. And lastly, I want to encourage you to speak with clarity. Have a clear message. Speak with clarity. The verse that I want to use is 2 Corinthians 3:12. It says, "Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech." We want to give answers and explain things. I have learned this in our ministry that sometimes when you're speaking to people, words such as repent, most of you here tonight, I think, would understand what repent means. But when you get out into the world, I've learned that I need to slow down and explain what repent means. Act it out on the street. When I talk to people, I tell them you need to understand four things if you're going to find God. First of all, confess. Just admit before God that you have sinned and that you need help. Just be honest and open and confess. And then repent is you need to turn from a life of sin and turn your back on the life of sin, and you need to reach out for God. By faith, you need to change directions. And then faith, you need to believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. And I tell people many times, just can you close your eyes and picture Jesus dying upon the cross? They say, yes. Do you believe it? Now I want you to picture yourself coming to the cross and kneeling at the cross. And I want you to look up to Jesus Christ. Can you see Him? And I want you to reach out your hand. And do you see His hand reaching out for yours? Now I want you to picture the blood of Jesus Christ coming down the cross. And I want you to imagine one drop of blood coming into your innermost being and cleansing your heart. And they open up their eyes. Yes. I understand. I said, never, ever leave that. That's where it will happen. At the cross is where Jesus died, and you must surrender to Him. And then surrender. So just take time to explain it all to them as best you can. And I'm still learning how to explain these things. Many times in the sidewalk, there's joints in the sidewalk. So many times I'll be standing with people on the sidewalk and I'll point to the line between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the devil. We're all born in sin. We're all lost. We're all born with sinful tendencies. And when we receive Jesus into our hearts, we step across the line into God's family. And now we're in the kingdom of God. And we need to keep growing in Christ and going closer to God and holiness. If we backslide, we cross the line. And just explain the kingdom of God. Take a time to explain clearly what it means to live for God. Explain idols, false hopes, religious idolatry. I'm burdened many times about people who are given false hope, wanting ministers to come and bless their house, wear a cross. Some people wanted to give me their cross and ask if I would bless their cross, and hopefully good luck will come their way, and the devil would be defeated in their life if they wear this cross. And so many idols that people are trusting in. Crystal balls, tarot cards, Ouija boards, and all of those things are filled with in the world. There was a man a month or two ago that had a tattoo on his arm, and it said, "You cannot drown my demons. They know how to swim." And I said to, I think his name was Sean, I said, "Are you serious? You have some demons?" He said, "Yes, I do. And they know how to swim. I didn't know demons swim." He started to explain his situation and his involvement in a Ouija board. Him and his sister got wrapped up in an Ouija board and dabbled in a Ouija board. And he said he tried to get rid of it. He put it up in the attic of his house, and they moved to another house, and he got to the next house, and the Ouija board was right there on the front porch. I've heard that from several people. And I said, "Sean, did anybody ever tell you about the blood of Jesus and how to renounce and break away from sin and all this darkness?" He said, "No, nobody ever explained that to me." There's so many people that are wrapped up in bondage, whatever it is. And we as God's people need to be free in the Lord. We need to be courageous. We need to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we need to point people to victory and freedom. I've been tested in many ways. In some situations, I wonder if the blood of Jesus can take care of this one. And I've come to the place where I don't care what it is, the blood of Jesus is the answer. And I want to be faithful and do the best job I can in explaining it to people. I want to encourage everyone here to step forward in faith and to speak boldly for Christ. Going into the world and speaking for Christ, overcoming fear and speaking from a consistent life. Maybe you're here tonight and you need to come to the Lord and say, "Lord, I need to be real and genuine. I need the power of God to flow through me. I need to overcome something in my life. I need to step to the Lord with confidence." Maybe you're here and you have a fear in your life that you've never been able to overcome. I just want to encourage you tonight, whatever it is, I want to encourage you all to come to the Lord and make this a priority in your life, to speak boldly for Christ and to be a soldier for Him. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for our meeting tonight, and I pray for each one here. I pray that we together would humbly admit that we need God, that we need the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, and we need courage and confidence to live and work for you. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. If there's someone here who's struggling in an area of their life, I pray that they would win the battle and the victory tonight, that they would come and open it up, and come before the Lord and make a commitment tonight to speak boldly for Christ. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. What I'm going to do is just have one verse of song. And if there's someone here tonight that God has spoken to you in an area of your life, or you want to take another step and go deeper for God, I want to give an invitation and have you come forward and just pour out your heart to the Lord. God knows what you're going through. So what will the song be? 726. Let's sing one verse of song, and if you're here tonight and you feel God has spoken to you and you want to take a step of faith tonight, just come forward, acknowledge it, open it up before God, and while we sing, just mind the Spirit of God. Let's sing. sing another verse. Let's take a moment to pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, and I thank you for these young people who stepped out, took a step of courage. I ask your blessing upon them, each one here tonight. I pray against Satan, the devil, the spirit of fear, and I pray that you give faith boldness. I pray and ask you to raise up an army for Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.